This year marks the 200th anniversary of the abolition of the slave trade in Britain. The new movie, Amazing Grace, is about the British abolitionist movement and focuses on the man who led the fight in Parliament. Our critic at large, John Powers, has seen the film and says the story made him think about his own life.
Hollywood loves making historical movies, but it finds the history part tricky. Life, sad to say, just doesn't have the dramatic shape of a good commercial screenplay. And so the movies streamline things, often by fitting grand events into the stories of heroic individuals, like Abe Lincoln, Gandhi, or Steve Biko. That's what happens in Amazing Grace, Michael Apted's devoutly old-fashioned biopic of the 18th-century politician William Wilberforce. Wilberforce was an evangelical Christian who, torn between serving God and serving his fellow man, split the difference. He joined up with the movement to abolish slavery and the slave trade in Britain, thereby honoring the God-given rights and dignity of all men. His passionate eloquence got him dubbed the Nightingale of the House of Commons, and it made him the official leading voice of the abolitionist movement. Here, Wilberforce, played by TV's Horatio Hornblower, Ewan Griffith, gets a bunch of MPs aboard a slave ship and then gives them a lesson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a slave ship, the Madagascar. It has just returned from the Indies, where it delivered 200 men, women, and children to Jamaica. When it left Africa, there were 600 on board. The rest died of disease or despair. That smell is the smell of death. Slow, painful death. Breathe it in. Breathe it deeply. Take those handkerchiefs away from your noses. There now. Remember that smell. Remember the Madagascar. Remember that God made men equal.
As you can tell from this clip's lack of nuance, Amazing Grace is giving us a lesson too, a history lesson, one slightly skewed by focusing on Wilberforce, who was, after all, only one actor in a grand moral crusade. Not that the movie denies the existence of his allies. We meet the heroic ex-slave Eladu Equiano and the repentant slave ship captain John Newton, who wrote the great hymn Amazing Grace. Still, watching this film, you might think that Wilberforce was the movement's towering figure, when that honor surely went to Thomas Clarkson, here played by Rufus Sewell, wearing a thatched roof of unfortunate hair. Yet for all its simplifications and bouts of corniness, I'm pleased to see Amazing Grace in our theaters. This is not because we still need to be told that slavery is wrong, those frat boys in Borat notwithstanding, but because its story has enduring importance. First of all, because it marks a breakthrough. Although it now seems natural that there would be social movements championing the rights of women, gays and lesbians, or immigrant workers, such movements are actually a historical late bloomer. In his superb book on the abolitionists, Bury the Chains, Adam Hochschild notes that the anti-slavery movement was, and I'm quoting him here, the first time a large number of people became outraged and stayed outraged for many years over someone else's rights. In their organized empathy, the abolitionists' newsletters, public meetings, parliamentary maneuvers, and boycotts of slave-grown sugar set a template for what would follow. And it showed that such a movement could prevail, even when faced with seemingly insurmountable obstacles like millennial prejudice, warnings of economic collapse, and the enormous power of those profiting directly from the slave trade. Incidentally, these are the same obstacles faced today by the likes of Sam Brownback, the evangelical Kansas senator who's been called a Wilberforce Republican, who's waging an admirable crusade against the sexual enslavement of women. George Orwell famously wrote that to see what's in front of one's nose needs a constant struggle. Amazing Grace makes this abundantly clear. We grasp that the pro-slavery forces couldn't or wouldn't see their victims' humanity. For most white Europeans at the time, the slave's inferiority was inscribed in nature and didn't bear any looking into. As I watched Amazing Grace, I found myself thinking not about their historical blindness, but about my own. Now, I like to think I'm a decent fellow. I'm all for equal rights, fair wages, and green initiatives. I give money to human rights organizations and tsunami victims. But in the big picture, this is the easy stuff. I keep wondering what I take for granted that will shock posterity, the way the belief in slavery now shocks us. Could it be the idea that it's okay to raise animals purely for the purpose of slaughtering and eating them? Could it be the idea that human beings are divided up into nations, so that being born on different sides of an artificially created border, like that between the U.S. and Mexico, means having vastly different rights and possibilities? Or could it be something so deeply embedded in my own way of seeing, I can't even bring it up here? I wish I had the amazing grace to know.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that saved